This is the Gemini Ransom Effect.
Welcome back to the Gemini Ransom Effect. You're listening to GRE with Triple D, Devin David, and DeBose.
Yay.
Yeah, it's
it. On the WJB.
On the WJB. What?
Double B's.
So before we left to the break, we...
Wiki Jiki Bobo. What?
We were talking with Eyesight. With Devin started us out with a very, very easy question. You know, softball question. So
it's not really a softball question.
It wasn't so much of a softball question, but I mean...
It's clear-cut answers.
Yeah.
You got to be concise in your thinking. You need to understand why you're answering yes or no, and you need to be able to speak to it.
But the question is this. Do you believe in the death penalty? It's not about what changes do you think need to be made to the death penalty. It's do you believe in it or not, yes or no? And the answer is yes. Are there probably some things that need to be reviewed? Yes, I agree with y'all. I don't think that people should spend 25 years on death row just absorbing tax dollar money is all they're doing. Just get it over with.
Let's go into the environmental issues.
Let's do it, man. I'm ready for this.
So we had this latest thing with Bundy. You know, we had everything going up in I think it
Ted?
Was what Oregon.
Ted Bundy?
Yeah, Oregon with
Al?
The
was it Al Bundy?
With
Al Bundy?
With Lands. No. We had this thing going on with Oregon with Lands. You had this group of
This is where they assassinated the owner.
In the park up there, the national park.
You have the national park. So the question is, should national parks be preserved and protected by the federal government? So let's think about this. You know, I saw a map and it showed the national park lands that are, you know, basically here on the East Coast. But then it goes and it shows the national park lands are lands owned by the federal government. You know, in the middle of the nation to the West Coast, and they're huge swaths of land, of cattle grazing land, and these people are having to pay the federal government rights in order to go in and graze the land. So, you know, the purpose of what was going on was these guys were just like, look, you know, we're tired of the federal government coming in and taking the land and then going in and telling us what we can and cannot do with the land. They're using up our cattle grazing land. You know, we got to get some things going. So, you know, when you're thinking of your answers, think about it's not just Yellowstone. It's not just these.
Yeah, but that's what you're talking about. Sounds like eminent domain.
Yeah,
it basically is a form of eminent domain that the federal government is taking the land, putting it under through like EPA protection and making it a national park. So it falls underneath your environmental issues, but at what cost to us?
I think the major national parks need to be upheld by the federal government. I do. I think there's a lot of history involved, but you know, I don't agree with eminent domain. I don't agree with taking people's lands.
Well, no, wait a minute. This was from the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge. It's not an eminent domain situation. The government already owned the land.
The government owned the land.
Well, if they own the land, then who's living on it? I don't understand the correlation of what you're talking about.
Eamon Bundy, who was the activist, lead activist in this, they've got a militant group that it's an anti-government group that he is involved with. It's called Citizens for Government Freedom, Citizens for Constitutional Freedom. Mm. So he professes to be a constitutionalist, saying that the government's, as you said, Devin, taking too much of the grazing land.
Mm-hmm.
So, but this was a wildlife refuge of just acres and acres. And unfortunately, it led to the death of a couple of people, I believe.
But you know, you have these ranchers that are renting basically land from the federal government to, you know, graze their cattle on.
Well, look, man. I mean, if you're renting land to graze your cattle on, then you got to go along with whatever that rental agreement entails.
I guess
it is what it is. If it's federal land and you know that going into it and you rent it, then that's on you. I mean, the national parks, a lot of history involved in these sorts of things, and that they need to be maintained.
I think there's definitely a distinction between national parks and like Yellowstone and our nation's history that we want to preserve.
Absolutely.
and grazing lands and things.
I think
there's got to be a lot of changes made to that structure in order for it to be viable. What's happened is over the years, federal government has become too big and too involved. So when everybody says, hey, let the states run it, you know, what they're talking about are these federally protected assets like this that they run and they control, and then they can do what they want to with, and then they can force people out, and we want to take that control back from the government, and that's what these people were standing for. Granted, should they have done what they were supposed to do? Yes, they made the situation worse for themselves. We had some people lose their lives over this, but they were trying to stand up for something, and they felt so passionate about, which was this: government needs to step out of the American people's business, and they're there to help govern our nation, not our lives.
Well, if they own the land, they own the land. If they're renting the land from the government, then just like when you go rent a house from somebody else, you got to follow the rules that they put forth, and you knowingly going into it.
I think the big question is, where did the federal government get the land from?
That's the question.
I think that's the big question there. But you know, I don't think the federal government should be there maintaining empty cattle grazing land. I agree with David. You're dealing with like Yellowstone and these major parks, these major national things. Yeah, I think the federal government should be involved in protecting these. But I think those types of lands, grazing land, stuff like that, I think that should be turned over to the state.
Well, I mean, and that may be the case, but what you don't know is what is the history of that land? Where did it come from? You know, why is it being protected? You know, this, that, and the other, and
because a mole lives on it,
probably. But if it's wildlife refuges and stuff like that inside each state, then I agree with you. That should be something that the state should take care of. But with your national parks, like your big stuff, your Grand Canyon, your Yellowstone,
I'm down with that too. Okay.
And that's exactly what it says. It says national parks, correct?
Right. Yep.
And there you go. See, and that's where you get into trouble as you try to expand it to mean other things, and it's just asking what it's asking.
All right, here's a big one. Should the government raise the federal minimum wage?
No.
And we're going into economic. Moving into economic issues now, and this is going to be a big
area. Simple question. It's a simple question. Simple answer is no.
Why?
Well, it's very easy to explain why. You can't continue to raise the minimum wage on businesses that are being forced to pay that, and then expect the small business to survive. The core of what we do in this country is small business owners. It's new businesses. It's people that are beginning to, who come up with an idea and they start to grow it. You have to leave the control up to the business. Leave it up to them to pay the people what they feel that they're worth.
Absolutely.
And if they don't, or if the people don't want to work for them, then good for them. Go get you a better education and then go work for someone else. But you can't force restaurants to pay people $12, $15 an hour to do something that it should not take that much money per hour to do and effort to do.
Well, I'll give you, you want my answer on this?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
No, they should not raise the minimum wage. The free market will take care of a lot of these things. You look at companies, and I'm not talking about like, you know, fast food or whatever the case may be. The free market, and you take some companies like you know, you got your FedEx stores, you got your UPS stores, you got stuff like that. If the UPS wants to draw someone, then they'll offer a little bit more money to pay that person if they want the better employee.
I agree with that.
You know, we cannot continue to put, you know, these large companies, McDonald's and all these companies, in a position to where they are having to pay more and more to someone to that it's not a career position.
Well, we all know what's going
to
happen.
What incentive do they have to go out and do something better for themselves?
Right.
You know, and here's the thing about the minimum wage thing. You know, and we've talked about this before. You raise the minimum wage to $10, $15, whatever. And then what's going to happen is McDonald's and all these places that are affected by it are going to say, okay, all right, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. So the next day or the next week, they're going to come out with all these cuts that they're going to do, all these employees that they're going to let go.
Or their $1 value menu becomes a
$3 or $4 or $5.
Right, exactly.
Value meal.
You have a $3, $4, $5 value menu
and
now.
And then your value meal, your regular value meals go from, you know, $5 and some change to $7 or $8.
Absolutely. And then you're going to have a wave one of employee releases. where you're gonna they're gonna have so many employees let go, and then the second wave is gonna be stuff like automated
and that's
tellers. When you walk in, you punch in your own order, and then you're gonna have a second wave of employee releases. I mean, it's just gonna cause jobs. Well, it's not a repair.
I agree with you. I think what's gonna happen, because I don't think that initially you're gonna have places that's gonna be just laying folks off. I think they're gonna be laying off unnecessary workers that they can go and they can combine those jobs. So the people that are left are going to be doing more work.
Absolutely.
But I think the big thing when you're looking in the restaurant industry, the fast food industry, which is really the biggest area that's going to be affected, is you're going to have automation, the type of automation Absolutely. That's already being brought Absolutely. And done in places like Japan,
Do
and
you
China,
want fries
and
with that shake?
Well, you know, you think about Brand Bank. You know, Brand Bank, that's here in Winder. It's a cool bank. You know, you walk up, and a lot of these banks are already doing this, where it's an automated teller. You walk up, you look at a screen, you punch in everything, and you're talking to somebody that's in someplace else, and they can more efficiently do everything. You're going to have that same type of deal. You go in, yeah. you punch in your order. They don't need to have an order taker that's going to screw up my meal.
You mean I'm going to order from somebody in Shanghai? How am I going to get my Big Mac?
Just let me go in and punch my order so I can get my order correct, so they don't go and screw it up.
That's right.
And then it pops up on the screen back there for the guy to make it.
On the screen, the guy in the back cooks the fries and everything else, and the staff is way down. Your quality of work goes way up, and their expenses drop.
Well, Marco Rubio gave a great example, and I believe Ben Carson even did as well. And it may have been, I think, just Ben Carson, now I'm thinking about it. But it was when they were talking about the same issue, and he said, listen, this is who it hurts. It hurts young people.
That's it.
It hurts yeah. all the young people in our nation, because these are the guys that when they get a job, it teaches them the value of a dollar. It teaches them the value of hard work and what it means to want to do better. And if you pay someone that amount of money, they have no ambition to want to try to go to the next level.
Right.
And then what it does is it forces all of them not to even have a job. And it puts them out of that position
right.
to have to do it. And then next thing you know,
and the thing about it is
business to other people.
There are people that get a job at Burger King, McDonald's, Wendy's, whatever the case may be, and their goal is to be a manager. Their goal is to be an area manager, and that's what it's about. That's what it's for. You know, that's what it's designed for. You start somewhere at the bottom and you work your way up, and that's what it's all about. I don't care where you work, but there's also a vast majority of people, and it seems like that vast majority is increasing year after year after year, that get a job. They have no desire to promote. They want to stay right where they are, but they want to hold the employer or the government accountable for giving them more money so they can be more comfortable at their low position.
It's an entitlement attitude.
It's an entitlement attitude. And look, a burger flipper is not a career opportunity.
And that's
you get that position as a stepping stone to improve inside the company.
And that's all your jobs. You know, when you're looking at a career, you know, you go and you look back at your life for everybody that has been successful in life and business, anything else like that. You look at your jobs, and each job was a stepping stone to the next one, and that's really what it is. You know, these are entry level jobs; they're not meant for you to have a living wage. And yes, you know, it sucks to be able to have to go in there as a 30 or 40 year old person. I have to go in there and have to take on one of those jobs. But the fact is when you're looking at life and when you're looking at everything else, you have to look at the grand scheme of things. What type of decisions did you make in life? Are you responsible for your own actions? So let's go to our next question. All right. Do you believe, and this goes along the same lines, do you believe labor unions help or hurt the economy?
I think
they hurt the economy.
I think, unfortunately, in most cases, they hurt.
Why?
I've had firsthand experience in dealing with labor union when just past year when we went to St. Louis. Let me just kind of give you an idea. These people don't care about anything that they're doing at all. They're not there for any other reason except to get their $15 an hour for that 4 hours.
Are you talking about a trade show experience where you ask for power, and even a simple thing as plugging in a drop cord,
yeah.
you have to have an $18 minimum per hour yeah. staff person do that?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking. Yeah. And what happens is that it takes away what our country was founded on, which is providing a service. Every business – that in this country provides something, whether it's a product or whether it's a service, and how they go about doing that to get their product or service into the marketplace determines who they are and how successful they're going to be. It's the same thing with employees who offer a building as a place for other businesses to come in and do trade show. It's how they present themselves. And me personally, never had an experience with a labor union. These were actually Teamsters. Mm-hmm. That's who they were. And you watch all the old gangster shows and you think about what a Teamster actually is. And basically, they're just a bunch of people who do not have steady jobs, okay, and joined a union so they would protect themselves from not having steady work.
And that's David Jackson. Send your cards and letters to David Jackson, care of Gez Gear.
Well, you know, if you think back, you take the auto industry.
Truth hurts.
You take the auto industry, and you might interject on this too, Devin. You know, when you have the labor unions, and the labor unions step in and deal with let's just take General Motors, for example. And, you know, all the employees are going to walk out unless we get this.
Yeah.
We want, you know, whatever that may be, $25 an hour, whatever, and they're going to catch – they're going to get so much of their pension after they retire for the rest of their life, and they're going to get this, all that, and the other. And if we don't get it, we're going to walk out.
You know, I think labor unions have had its place. I mean, I think that labor unions in the past have done good for the workforce to, you know, because, I mean, face it, you know, when you're looking, a while back,
it was unfair.
You had a lot of companies that dominated. They didn't pay the working conditions were terrible. You know, and there wasn't a lot of regulation. There wasn't a lot of federal government regulation on how companies had to take care of their workers or how they had to do this or living conditions or any of the other kind of stuff. I mean, you look at the old mill houses and stuff. The old mill towns like Monroe. You know, here locally, you have all the old shotgun mill houses that were so tiny. They were paid in like stamps and stuff like that. They could go spend their money at the general store that they had at the mills. You know, the working conditions were terrible. The living conditions weren't exactly the best in the world, but they were provided housing. But you know, it was your labor unions that also helped shut down, along with other economic things, that helped shut down a lot of your mills, but your other stuff, and it has impacted the community. But
yeah, there was a time for it.
It has helped, but I think the time has moved on to where the worth of the labor unions are, you know, I think have kind of gone by the wayside. You know, I think they've helped in the past and, you know, and they had their stuff, but, you know. So next question is, let's see, let's find a really good one here. Give me 1 second. Oh, here we go. Should the government increase the tax rate on profits earned from the sale of stocks, bonds, and real estate?
All right, read that again.
Wow.
Read it again. I just want to make sure I'm hearing it correctly.
All right. So, should the government increase the tax rate on profits earned from the sale of stocks, bonds, and real estate?
Okay, could you break it down one more time?
Capital gains, basically.
Yeah, basically your capital gains tax.
No, they should not increase it.
Okay. Why?
Because, I mean, capital gains taxes right now are what? Already?
They've gone from 15 to 30%.
30%. I mean, no. No.
So, you know, when you look, if for a lot of people, when you're, and we're going to take a break here in just a minute, but when you're looking at your capital gains tax and things like that, when you go and you're investing for your retirement, your stock, you know, and you have stocks and you have bonds and you have mutual funds and you have all these different things, when you're going in and if I buy stock in David Jackson Realty, and then David Jackson Realty does really
very
well.
Poor decision.
And I take that $100 stock now becomes $150 stock. I'm going to be taxed at 30% of that $50 that I made on David Jackson Realty. And so that's the big thing. And so a lot of your people that are retired that have invested for the future, that's where their income comes from. And so when you're going in and you're taxing that income, their quality of life also drops for those people that planned appropriately for the future. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to get back into this, and we're going to find out what the sports doctor's opinion is on here, too. So you've been listening to the Gemini Ransom Effect on 107.1 FM WJBB.
This is the Gemini Ransom Effect.